This is Tom Shrewsbury with Reflections for the Covenant Network. As you know, I've been very interested in the wonderful stories of apparitions that have been passed down to us over the centuries and felt that these special blessings were given to us for a reason and that we ought to pay attention to what they were telling us. Like the message given to the three little shepherd children at Fatima when they were told, "Do not offend God any more, because he is already too greatly offended." And that was way back in 1917. Makes me wonder how he feels today. I believe there is something for us all to learn from the various apparitions. Apparitions like Lourdes, the Rudebach, where we got the miraculous medal, La Salette, Knock, and, well, many more. Probably the closest one to the United States would be at Guadalupe, near Mexico City. I would imagine that you could probably name most of the approved apparitions. I use the word approved because there are many reports of various apparitions and appearances all the way around the world, and not all have been approved as valid, at least for now. The Church takes its time because the numbers of these possible apparitions around the world is quite large, and only after time, study, evaluation, and more study will the Church approve a claimed apparition as valid and free from any doctrinal errors, and that they are consistent with the teachings of the Catholic faith and therefore worthy of belief, such as shrines like Lourdes and so on. And no apparition can be accepted by the Church without first being recognized by the local bishop. And while the Church does not require that we must believe in the reported apparition, but that they are worthy of belief. Have you ever wondered why we had none in the United States? There were these beautiful shrines around the world, but none here. Well, that changed on the 8th of December in 2010. On that date, Bishop David Ricken of the Diocese of Green Bay in Wisconsin approved the acceptance of an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, located at Champion, Wisconsin, not too distant from Green Bay itself, with an apparition that took place in October of 1859. But how did this all come about? Well, best we start at the beginning. Our story really revolves around a young woman named Adele Bries, who was born in Belgium on the 30th of January, way back in 1831. Adele was an energetic young girl and at an early age had an accident in which lye had blown into her face, causing her to lose the sight of one of her eyes. But nonetheless, while it could have had a devastating effect on her personality, she remained a happy-go-lucky young girl whose pleasant and outgoing attitude suffered little or no side effects. She was not one to let problems affect her life in a negative way. Well, not too long after her accident, and to take advantage of the reported opportunities in this new land called the United States across the ocean, her family decided to try to improve their lot by becoming immigrants, and their destination would be an area where many other Belgians had settled, a place with the charming name of Green Bay. Well, Adele was not too excited by the prospect for several reasons. First, her education was extremely limited, but beyond that, she had a great devotion to the Virgin Mary, and her fondest wish was to become a religious. She was now 24 years old and was concerned that becoming an immigrant would dash her dreams of becoming a missionary. But her confessor encouraged her by saying that if it was the will of God, she would become a missionary in the United States and that she should go with her family, but that he would pray for her. Well, Adele and her family departed on the 7-week voyage to New York, followed by the overland trek to the Green Bay area, arriving in August of 1855, where the family purchased several hundred acres of land for 50 or 60 cents an acre. There was no doubt that Adele still harbored her desire to serve God, but the nagging question was, how? How would this happen? In these relatively new United States, where the church was still in its infancy and the bishops of that period were concerned with the religious and temporal training of the children and encouraged parishes to begin providing education within their parishes. This was also the time in which the Pope had declared the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, and, as if to give importance to the role of the Blessed Mother in the Church, two major events were to take place, the first of which was to be an apparition at, above all places, a city dump called Massabiel in a tiny village called Lourdes, to a young girl named Bernadette. And this was to have an immediate and worldwide effect, as Bernadette would be told, "I am the Immaculate Conception." But there was also another apparition, a little shy of 2 years after Lourdes, when the Queen of Heaven appeared to another young woman, a young woman named Adele Breeze, in a country known as the United States, near a city with the strange name of Green Bay, known at that time as Robinsonville. Adele would later tell her story to a Sister Pauline, about whom I'll mention a little more later. Sister Pauline wrote an account of Adele's testimony in her own words, and she wrote them for accuracy. And I'll quote her written testimony. She said, "Adele was going to the grist mill about 4 miles from where she lived with a sack of wheat on her head. As Adele came near the place, she saw a lady, all in white, standing between two trees, one a maple and the other a hemlock. Adele was frightened and stood still, and then the vision slowly disappeared, leaving a white cloud after it. Adele continued on her errand and returned home without seeing anything more. She told her parents what had happened, and they wondered what it could be, maybe a poor soul who needed prayers. On the following Sunday, she had to pass there again on her way to Mass at Bay Settlement, about 11 miles from her home. This time she was not alone, but was accompanied by her sister Isabel and a neighbor woman. When they came near the trees, the same lady in white was at the place where Adele had seen her before. Well, Adele was again frightened and said, almost in a tone of reproach, 'Oh, there's that lady again.' Sister Pauline continued her story, and again I quote, 'Adele had not the courage to go. The other two did not see anything, but they could tell by Adele's look that she was afraid. They thought, too, that it might be a poor soul that needed prayers. So they waited a few minutes, and Adele told them the vision was gone, that it had disappeared as it had at the first time, and all that she could see was a little mist or a white cloud. After Mass, Adele went to confession and told her confessor how she had been frightened at the sight of the lady in white. The priest bade her not to fear or to speak of this outside of the confessional. He told her that if it were a heavenly messenger, she would see it again, and it would not harm her, but to ask in God's name who it was and what it desired of her. Well, Sister Pauline went on to say, after that, Adele's fears subsided, and she felt more comfortable with this mysterious lady dressed in white. And as they started their return home, I would imagine, in a way, Adele was now even looking forward, perhaps even hoping, to see this beautiful lady dressed in white. Adele was again accompanied by her sister and friend, but this time a farmer who was working for the nearby priests was walking with them. Sister Pauline continued her account. She would say, as they approached the hallowed spot, Adele could see the beautiful lady clothed in dazzling white with the yellow sash around her waist. Her dress fell to her feet in graceful folds, and she had a crown of stars around her head, and her long golden wavy hair fell loosely around her shoulders. Such a heavenly light shone around her that Adele could hardly look back at her sweet face. Overcome by this heavenly light and the beauty of her amiable visitor, Adele fell on her knees. Remembering her instructions, Adele fell to her knees and spoke as she was told, and she said, "In God's name, who are you, and what do you want of me?" And then there was the answer. And what an answer. She said, "I am the Queen of Heaven, who prays for the conversion of sinners, and I wish you to do the same. You received Holy Communion this morning, and that is well, but you must do more. Make a general confession and offer communion for the conversion of sinners. If they do not convert and do penance, my son will be obliged to punish them." One of the ladies present said, "Adele, who is it?" And the other wept as she said, "Why can't we see her as you do?" Adele said, "Kneel. The lady said she is the Queen of Heaven." The lady turned, looked kindly at them, and said, "Blessed are they who believe without seeing. What are you doing here in idleness while your companions are working in the vineyard of my son?" "What more can I do?" said Adele, weeping. And the reply was, "Gather the children in this wild country and teach them what they should know for salvation." Adele replied, "But how shall I teach them who know so little myself?" "Teach them," replied her radiant visitor, "their catechism, how to sign themselves with the sign of the cross and how to approach the sacraments. That is what I wish you to do. Go and fear nothing. I will help you." The beautiful lady then lifted her hands as though beseeching a blessing for those at her feet, and then vanished, leaving Adele overwhelmed and prostrate on the ground. And that's the end of the visit of the beautiful lady who appeared to Adele. Well, Adele would believe the words of the lady and felt that she had perhaps a divine order to catechize the children, and she would do everything in her power to carry out the wishes of this beautiful lady to teach the children and warn the adults about the gravity of sin. Adele's parents believed her, and her father even went so far as to build a rather makeshift chapel near the site of the apparition that was to be called the Chapel of Our Lady of Good Help. This was around 1861. Now, as in the case of other apparition sites around the world, many of the people of the area believed, but they were not without their detractors, those who would demand proof, and certainly have been those doubting Thomases since the very beginning, even to that famous meeting in the upper room. And there was undoubtedly no greater believer than Adele herself, who would spend the remainder of her life obeying to the letter the instructions given her by that beautiful lady from heaven. Adele would travel as far as 50 miles up, down, and around the peninsula surrounding Green Bay area, admonishing sinners. She would travel through bad weather, storms, dangerous situations, fatigue, and even the expected ridicule would not prevent Adele from carrying out her promise to the very best of her abilities. In the mid-1860s, the group of former Belgians had grown in numbers to where a priest was named pastor, and he recognized the work being accomplished by the remarkable Adele Breeze. He felt that a type of school needed to be established where the people could come to her and she would not have to endure the travels she was making over so wide an area. In other words, he wished that she would build a convent and school, and so he gave her a letter of recommendation and assigned a nun to help raise the funds in around the Green Bay area. The nun spoke English, but Adele still spoke only Belgian. Well, they were successful. Money was raised, and a type of school was built, as well as a convent. And though Adele would be referred to as Sister Adele, she was officially not a member of any specific religious order, because at that time there was really no opportunity for her to enter a novitiate, and she had been given her assignment from on high, and that was good enough for her. There was no charge for the school or the training. God was simply providing, as other women and nuns joined in this exciting program, and God provided. When food supplies were low and no one knew where the next meal would come from, well, then someone would providentially drop off what was needed. The girls often became boarders, and their families would also bring provisions. Then there was a young woman named Pauline LaPlante, who had met Adele when she was little more than a child, and she became a student at the school and was constantly drawn by the charism of Sister Adele. And later, Pauline would become Sister Pauline and a type of aid to Sister Adele, being of great help to her, particularly during her later years. And all during these times, since the first chapel of Our Lady of Good Help, the number of pilgrims coming continued to grow, but not in the number of Lourdes. Not only were there a language barrier as well as a geographical difference, there was also cures starting to take place there, events that could be described as miraculous. But then God works on his own timetable and not at man's convenience. And these so-called miracles covered a broad time spectrum. But perhaps the initial most dramatic miracle that they called at the time was the fire, which was called the Peshtigo Fire of 1871, about 12 years after the apparition started. There was a tremendous, disastrous fire that ravaged the peninsula area in which the shrine was located. 2,500 people lost their lives. That was 10 times the number who died in the Great Chicago Fire. Well, as the fire raged, many people sought sanctuary on the grounds near the shrine where the beautiful lady first appeared to Adele. Many arrived in great numbers, some with their animals, and as the flames grew closer, what happened? The fire circled the entire shrine area, but all the people and all the animals were protected as if a giant screen diverted the flames, and all the animals and all the people within its boundaries were safe, apparently by the hand of God. Well, the so-called miracles themselves continued through the years, for the blind would see and the lame would walk, and the prayers of many were being fulfilled. Now, the church, ever cautious, took its time to officially categorize them as miracles, but the faithful were coming in droves to pay tribute to the shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. In the mid-20th century, crowds estimated at more than 15,000 were reported attending the Feast of the Assumption, and more than 50,000 people every year would visit the shrine. But the church was watching. And so, on the 8th of December, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, in the year 2010, Bishop David Ricken of the Diocese of Green Bay approved the Marian apparitions at the shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. Reading from his decree, Bishop Ricken said, and I quote, "I declare with moral certainty and in accord with the norms of the Church that the events, apparitions, and locutions given to Adele Breeze in October of 1856 do exhibit the substance of supernatural character, and I hereby approve these apparitions as worthy of belief, although not obligatory, by the Christian faithful." End of quote. And now, the United States has joined, at the end of 2010, other shrines like Lourdes, Guadalupe, the Rudebach, La Salette, and a handful of other approved Marian shrines honoring the Mother of God, perhaps at a time when we need her most. What does she need to do to get our attention? This is Tom Shrewsbury with Reflections for the Covenant Network.